Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hannah Rachel and
Jamie Stern
from the streets of Israel. There are some interesting topics as Anglo-Israelis living in Israel we would like to discuss, such as
the cost of living.
Yeah, cost of living. I think also just as much like the Zionism that we love Israel, but also at the same time there are like all these frustrations, like mentality and the chutzpah that there's here. But anyway, today we're just gonna talk about
life in Israel, what it's like to live in Israel.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jamie, do you want to tell me what it's like for you to live in Israel?
I love it. I mean, I started out my journey in Israel more in the center. I lived in Tel Aviv for a couple of years, and I was living in Rehovot for a couple of years. I even lived in a city called Holon.
You moved here at what age?
When I was 20.
Oh, right. Okay, fine.
And so now I'm in Jerusalem. For me, Jerusalem is amazing. I actually wanted to live here for a long time, but I didn't get the opportunity because I was in school. And it's amazing for me that I can leave my house and walk a couple of kilometers and be to the Kotel. It's absolutely amazing. The people here, you meet people from all over the world. I have friends from Italy, from Argentina, from Iran, all over the world. And everyone is friendly. Everyone, you know, wants to get to know you, wants to know you for who you are. And there's so many parks and open green spaces in Jerusalem. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I guess in Jerusalem it is really like versatile. Like there are lots of people from different religions, you know.
I feel very comfortable in Jerusalem because as a religious Jew, I feel at home. I feel like, you know, I'm not looked on for like what I'm doing. You know, if I were to live in a different part of Israel, maybe people would like, you know, like look at what I'm wearing and judge me a certain way. But in Jerusalem, because it's so religious, I mean, it's about like 63% either ultra Orthodox or Orthodox Jews. So it's very like feels comfortable, feels at home, feels like I can be comfortable in my religion. And then as well, we also have Muslim and Christians and they have their places and they feel comfortable where they are and they have like, you know, their religious places of worship. So I feel like it's a religious home for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. I also feel like it's a religious home for everyone. Like we were just talking before about life in Tel Aviv compared to the life in Jerusalem. You know, in Tel Aviv, it's like a lot more secular, but it's true. When you're living in Jerusalem, the majority is religious. But yeah, there's a very big openness to just different religions. You do meet Christians here. You meet lots of Arabs as well. Personally, what I like about Jerusalem is that it's very authentic. Like, don't you feel like when you're in Israel and in Jerusalem, like, people are real? I don't know how to explain it. Like, I always felt like, you know, Israel is called Israel because things are real here, you know? And you do. You feel it. It's something in the air. You feel something in the oxygen. Also, yeah. When you go to the Kotel, you do feel something is more authentic. I like that feeling about it.
It's funny. They had an ad going out in the summer about Jerusalem, Liot Bechul in Israel. To be abroad while you're in Israel. And it's so funny because Jerusalem is the most Israeli place, so you can't, like, it's funny that Israelis would come here and feel abroad because they need to know Jerusalem is really home. So yeah, it's amazing. Like at night in Jerusalem the weather is cold because we're on a mountain, and the air is always like, but because we're on a mountain and because we're not far from the Dead Sea, we can actually drive an hour and something and be at the Dead Sea. So it's just a beautiful place. Like we have a view of the forest, we have fresh air, you can go a few minutes away and do a hike and see natural springs, jump in the springs, be in the forest. It's like an incredibly beautiful place. And then you also have all of the culture and all of the history and all of the religious sites. You know, if you're a history buff, Jerusalem is for you. They give tours of underground tunnels and there's so much to do here. It's amazing. And there's so many different people you'll meet. So Tel Aviv, let's talk a little bit about Tel Aviv because Tel Aviv was recently...
Tel Aviv, yeah, baby, Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv was recently listed as the most expensive place in the world as far as cost of living. And so Tel Aviv to me, because I live there and I know how Tel Aviv is, it's like a place where Israelis go to live to escape actual Israeli life, because they make Tel Aviv as European as possible, as secular as possible. It's all about the nightlife in Tel Aviv. It's all about the food, you know, global cuisine. Gays feel very comfortable. You know, they have a gay pride parade. It's huge every year. There's a big like exercise culture and high tech culture. It reminds me like a little bit of San Francisco. Like, it's where young Israelis go to be with their friends and to do what they want. So for me, it's completely different than Jerusalem.
So I would actually like to give my view on Tel Aviv in general beforehand. Jamie, you asked me what it's like for me to live in Israel. First, I think I want to give our listeners a little bit of like a view of what's my history of living at all. So I was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And when I was 3 years old, my parents made Aliyah to Israel. I grew most of my life, I grew up in Beit Shemesh, actually, which is next to Jerusalem. Grew up in a religious upbringing. And then, actually, when I was like around 26 years old, I was becoming more religious after like a gap where I wasn't as religious. And I was like in, you know, living in Ramat Gan, which is next to Tel Aviv. They didn't have any community over there. And I was becoming more religious that I wanted to feel still like a part of a community, but still enjoy like the freedom of like, you know, outside of Israel. I was traveling a long time in Australia and stuff. And so I actually moved to Tel Aviv at that age because apparently there's a really big community of like Anglo religious people, like of like a modern community, not just like, you know, Black Hat and Yeshivish, as they would say, but like there's a very wide, beautiful rainbow of communities that are like, they go to shul on Shabbos, they have social gatherings, and like it's like they do have a nice lifestyle over there. And then I felt that while I was in fashion school, I can also, you know, be in fashion school and be religious and be modern and feel like, you know, the perks of being kind of like outside of Israel, inside of Israel, because they also have like a nightlife, they also have cultural events going on. So that's what I really liked about Tel Aviv. But I personally think that Tel Aviv is like a place that like you go there for a while, you go there for a period of time. You don't go there to live forever, unless you're dripping with money, but like you don't go to live there forever. It's a time for a period of life and you move on, because it's ridiculously expensive. It's ridiculously expensive. I think like in general in life in Israel is expensive. Like in Tel Aviv, it's like you need to be extra set financially. I'm not sure it's worth it, but I don't know.
Yeah, so let's just talk a little bit about how much it costs to live in Tel Aviv. If you go out to a bar and you want to order a beer, you know, not a fancy beer, like a standard Israeli beer, you're looking to pay around at least 35 shekel, maybe 40, depends on which bar you go to, for half a liter. So in American dollars, that will be something around $12 at least. Now think about that. If you're looking for a nightlife and a night of drinking, how much are you going to end up paying at the end of the night? And that's not including tips. And then if you think about, for example, the cost of rent.
Tipping, by the way, tipping, it used to be 10%. Now there's like a new standard that if you tip less than like 15%, you're like tight.
Right. Yeah, it's expected to tip in Israel, and like some countries like Australia and New Zealand, I think they don't have a tipping culture.
And the rent.
So the rent, if you want to live in a roommate's apartment, you're looking at paying no less than 3,000 shekel, and that's on the lower end. If you want to live in a nice apartment, like renovated, you know, not on the fourth floor, by the beach, you're looking at paying 4,000 shekel to live with roommates. If you want to live by yourself, the price is going to be around 5,000 shekel for a tiny studio apartment, and it just goes up depending on the quality of the apartment you want, etc. And even then, even with these costs, it's still difficult to find an apartment. You're still going to have competition and have to fight people. And basically, it's like a job interview when you talk to the roommates to get the apartment.
Are you kidding?
Or the landlord. You have to give security checks, have like 5 different guarantors, you know.
When I was looking for an apartment in Tel Aviv, like when I was that age, like I remember going to this apartment, and literally the roommates, there were two other roommates, they were having interviews. They pulled out a notebook, and there were like three girls looking at the apartment, and they sat us down one at a time, and I started asking us questions, and they only let us know like a week later who got in. And I didn't get in, obviously, but like it took me 3 months to find a place in Tel Aviv. 3 months.
Yeah, so that's kind of how life in Tel Aviv is. Tel Aviv started out being a bit of a more hippie place. It was always a liberal place. There was a whole movie, TV show made in Israel called Florentine about the life in South Tel Aviv, and they're kind of like all artists and creative people and young people. Now, Tel Aviv is changing, similar to how San Francisco changed, and becoming just more and more of a high-tech hub. So people who live there tend to be software developers. They tend to have a pretty good salary of something around 30,000 shekel and going up, depending on how many years they've been working in the company. 30,000. Right, 30,000 shekel. It starts around there, usually. So they can afford to live in Tel Aviv, but that being said, they still have to watch their budget because of the cost of restaurants. Even, for example, if you go to the AMPM, which is common in Tel Aviv, there's not really big grocery stores there because there's no room. Tel Aviv is a small city, so there's not any room like there is in Jerusalem to put a big grocery store like Rami Levi. So they go to these little stores called AMPM that are open all the time and 24/7. In Jerusalem, we only have 24/6 because they're closed on Shabbat. So they go to these AMPMs, and the cost of everything there is about double or triple what you would pay in a regular grocery store. And people in Tel Aviv do it out of convenience because they're not gonna travel to Ramat Gan or somewhere else just to buy groceries. So that's another thing. And the other thing is a lot of people just order out or go to restaurants. They don't cook necessarily so much because Tel Aviv is more about the nightlife. And the time you do have, you want to use it to spend with friends and be active, go to the gym, go to the beach. So the cost does get high, even for someone who's making a 30,000 shekel salary, which is about 10,000 US dollars, still we'll have budget issues and still maybe we'll go into a negative in the bank. So Tel Aviv, it's definitely a place where people go when they're young. It's not really so much a place for families. People, the dating scene also in Tel Aviv, people don't tend to be marriage-minded. It's more of just a hookup scene. And then you have to consider also a lot of Tel Aviv is gay, a lot. So it's a big gay culture. There's a lot of gay bars. And it's like a place where people feel free to be what they are, you know? Except for if you're religious, you get stares, kind of, because they don't expect you to be in Tel Aviv. But there is a small religious community in Tel Aviv.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like it's a very big, booming community. Like you have Chabad on the coast, you have the 126 Shul and Shabbat, and you have the 186 Ben Yehuda. Like, I feel like there are lots of shuls over there. Also, the history of Tel Aviv, you should know, Jamie, like, the history of Tel Aviv actually started out with lots of synagogues in Yafo. And I think just over the years it became less religious, but now I feel like it's slowly becoming a more hip place for the religious to be.
Right, they have also the Great Synagogue on Allenby, which is huge. Oh, yeah. So everybody passes it and everybody knows it's there. It's true. A lot of people move to Israel and they're like modern religious. You know, it's becoming bigger than when I lived there. I lived there a few years back. And I feel like it's growing and growing because the amount of immigrants coming to Israel is always growing. And now especially we have immigrants from first world countries like France, the US, England, South Africa. I don't know if South Africa is a first world country, but...
Do you still feel like even though there's COVID, like there's still Aliyah right now?
Yeah, I mean, people, they made it more difficult for sure. But at one point, the only way for people to get into Israel was to make Aliyah. So people did make Aliyah, and they got on the special flight, and then they came. Like, no matter what challenges that are put up, people will still want to come to Israel because they feel a very special connection to the land. Even like, even all this talk about Jerusalem versus Tel Aviv, they're both Israel at the end of the day, and people feel very connected to both in their own ways. So that's the most important thing, is like to really feel like we're connected to Israel. I mean, every place that we step here is considered holy, so we have to really be aware, like, we have an insane privilege to live here. Maybe at some point that will fix the cost of living and the cost of buying a house and all of these things. But for right now, it's just money, and we're finding a way to kind of deal with it and to keep living and be happy. And just, we have to be very careful about budgeting and how we spend money, because we know, like, also, by the way, a lot of Americans and Brits that I know, they bring suitcases of stuff whenever they go back home, and they ask their friends what they need, because they know there's some things that you can't even get in Israel, and it's way cheaper to buy it there and bring it. So a lot of people do that. I remember my dad always, he used to go to America for work, so he would always bring back like boxes of cereal. He would bring back like 10 boxes of cereal in his suitcase, and he managed to fix it, fit it. Yeah, Captain Crunch, Reese's Puffs. All the American stuff you can't really get in Israel.
I feel like it's mostly the chocolates people request.
Chocolates, yeah.
Butterfingers, M&Ms, right. Reese's Pieces. I feel like living in Israel is a privilege. I was just telling you before also that when you live in Israel, like, it's nice, it's authentic, and I don't know, sometimes maybe it's better to pump up the appreciation of just like, yeah, living in Israel, you know, like, I don't know, to appreciate it more.
Right, we kind of take it for granted. Like, when you have something a long time, you take it for granted. Like, let's say you have a really amazing husband, but you're with him every day. You're always with him. And so, like, you know, he's there. Like, okay, this is my husband. I'm taking him for granted because he's there. Nothing is changing. It's the same. You know, I have a husband. But if he were to go away on a business trip for a couple weeks, you would start realizing, you know, he always makes me a coffee in the morning, and now my coffee is not here. He always gives me a hug when I come back from work and a big kiss. And now, like, I'm all by myself, or I'm with my kids, and I don't have anyone to help me with the kids. So it's like, when you lose something, do you start to appreciate it. So that's why for me, like, every time I've left Israel, and I have left a couple of times, even for long periods of time, like a year, when I came back, I appreciated it so much. Even the small things, like how, even the chutzpah, like the audacity of people who, like, just start a conversation with you as a complete stranger, but in Israel it's like everyone is family. Yeah. And I appreciated, like, the buses and you know, just everything. And Israel, it's really funny, like, the culture is so different than America. Like, like, it depends where in America, but in generally speaking, like, if I'm on a train or a bus, like, people try to stay quiet, you know, but in Israel it's the opposite. They'll get on their phone and they'll have the loudest conversation right in front of you. They don't care, like, you know, if you're listening or not. And you really can't not listen if you understand Hebrew.
In the most official situations, they're gonna start calling each other, "Mommy, Matik Shali, Ma, Tasiuti Shmena, Ma, spaghetti." Yeah, basically, it's chuna. But like you were saying before about, like, you know, appreciating it more, I think maybe the appreciation is about just raising our awareness to gratitude. Like, I think something about being religious, I personally, I like davening in the morning and praying, davening. It's all about, like, saying, thank you, God. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for, you know, making me, it's like, hey, giving me everything I need. You know, like, you start making these blessings. And so you do these things, or on a day-to-day basis, you start saying thank you and thank you. And if you think of it, also, like, with our bodies, like, I don't know, like, I personally, I love my body. I don't know what it's like to be married yet, because I'm getting married soon, but I don't know what it's like, you know, to be in a marriage, but my body, I like it. I like my body. I like that when I eat something, like, if I want to lose weight, I can lose weight really fast. I like it that, like, I like running, and then my body just feels good after runs. Like, I don't know, I really do like my body. So I think maybe it's like, yeah, like, you know, doing things for your body that you engage with it, that make it feel good, like, you know, the daily ritual of exercise. Maybe also with Israel, if we, like, I don't know, go on more Tehillim more often. I think Friday is a great day for going on Tehillim. You know, like, if you organize Shabbos a night in advance, obviously, but I feel like if there was, like, maybe a day just for your relationship with Israel, how awesome would that be?
For me, it's Sunday, because I don't work on Sundays, so I have the whole Sunday. Usually I do errands, but it's definitely a day that's open for Tiulim. I went to Tveria last week. It was amazing to be there. No tourists, you know, it's a Sunday. And just appreciate the Kinneret. Like, beautiful body of water, fresh water, with trees growing in it. And just beautiful. I went to the graves of Tzadikim. I prayed to them. Things that you can do in Israel on a short drive. About a 2.5 hour drive to Jerusalem and you're in a completely different place. It's incredible. And if I want to go to the spa for free, all I have to do is drive an hour and a half south of Jerusalem and I get to the Dead Sea Hot Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. My skin is still soft from that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's such an incredible experience to, on a freezing night, to go sit in the hot water and look up at the stars. There's nothing that can beat that. You have so many different places to explore in Israel. There's so many different landscapes. Like, if I want to go to the forest, I can go to the forest in Beit Shemesh. It's full of forests. If I want to go see agriculture, I can go to Rehovot and just look at fields of agriculture. If I want to go to the north, I can go to the Mount Hermon, and even there's snow there in the winter, and you can go skiing. And if I want to go to the south, to the desert, I can go there and just be filled. Like, in the desert, I feel like you really feel God's power, because you're in the vast emptiness of the desert, and you just know, if I were to need water, there's only one person I can rely on. It's God. Like, you know, you feel the emptiness of the desert, and it's a very spiritual feeling.
It's like in Tehillim, Me'ayin yavo Ezri, Ezri me'im Hashem, Oseh shamayim v'aretz. Wait, there's a song. Shir la'ma'alot, Esah enai le'arim. Like, you know, it's a song to the skies, to heaven. I'll look onto the mountains. You know, so.
And where will my help come from?
Means is like, where's my help from? It's from God, from the God, creator of the world. He created everything. He created the sky, the sun, the moon, mountains. So it's a beautiful song for the full translation. So you can look up that Tehillim.
So going back to that in the land of Israel, it's like, if we look back, 100 years to where Israel was, it's incredible. Like, this land was desert. There was nothing, and it was full of malaria. Like, people were coming here and dying because there was no food, there was no economy, there was nothing. It was an empty land. There were mosquitoes, there were rats, and we somehow in this short period of time developed this land into something where 9 million people can live here. We built forests. There was no trees here. We built forests. We built farms. People used to be tough. They used to survive off of citrus. That was their business. They used to grow orange trees and eat oranges and survive off of that. Like, that was their income. Now we're a little bit spoiled. You know, we have economy jobs. We work in high tech. We work in finance.
Spend 30,000 shekel a month.
Yeah.
Restaurants.
But back then, they had nothing. They were true pioneers. What they could do with the land is how they earned their living. And it was tough. And there was times that they didn't have food. And people died from malaria. And they planted so many trees to people worked really, really hard. And these people who came to Israel were not even religious. They did it because they felt a connection to the land of Israel. And Rav Kook talks a lot about this and how, like, even the most secular people who came to Israel are on such a high level because they realized the innate value of Israel, and they gave their heart to it. They gave their entire body, soul, and heart to making this a place where we could live and making it a home once again.
Yeah, so we hope that this mini session gave whoever is having, like, maybe doubts of moving to Israel, or I don't know, just wanting to get to know more about Israel, I hope it gives some clarity to people out there. I don't know. Is there anything you want to add?
Let's add, we're going to teach you guys some slang in Israel.
Yeah.
So I'm going to teach you guys just a few words. When you say something is awesome, you say, like, wow, eze magniv. I love it. Because, like, there's such cool slang in Israel. And then another example, it's
esh,
fire. Like, another example, just short example, is when you see someone at the store, or you order pizza, or you just see someone in the street, they're like, hey, achi, ma koe, like, brother. Everyone calls each other brother, and it's not like in a joking way, it's in a serious way, like we're all brothers, which is amazing. So the last thing I'm going to teach you is going to say yalla. Like, yalla is like, let's go. It's really, it's Arabic, but it's really fun. It's a different culture in Israel. It's so different. It's like when you wanna go, you're not like, okay, maybe we should go. Let's go. Like, Americans are so polite. It's like yalla yalla. Like, okay, we finished.
We have the bulldog approach. We get lots of stuff done that way. Negotiating, getting our way, pulling the strings. That's another we can leave out for the next session.
Yeah, maybe in the next session we'll talk about how you negotiate with Israelis and how you deal with the aggressiveness of Israel.
How to make it in Israel.
You cannot make it in Israel by being polite and quiet. Let's put it that way. You have to be very pushy and aggressive, but in a good way, because it's not aggressive like I'm taking it personally and they're hurting my feelings. Like, you get used to it. That's just how you deal with each other, with your brothers. So we'll talk about that in the next session. Looking forward to it. Hope you learned something about the land of Israel, and leave us your comments.
Yeah, where should they leave us our comments? On Instagram?
Yeah, leave us your comments on Instagram, and if you have any questions for us that you'd like us to address, we would love to hear from you.
That's a wrap.